everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with the birthday boy, Mr. Ed Alexander, sharing a birthday with the King, with Elvis Presley. That's pretty cool, Ed. That's cool. Ed Alexander and Elvis, each sharing a birthday. Ed Alexander producing our show today and engineering it on the other side of the glass. And we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on Thursday, January the 8th, 2015. Today, of course, is a very sad anniversary. It's the fourth anniversary of the Tucson shootings, a sad event that certainly shocked not only Arizona, but the United States and maybe even the world, as six people gunned down and killed and 13 injured, including former Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. And we have a major power outage. Are we back on the air? Perhaps we are. We are back on the air. Sorry about that, folks. Looks like we had a major power outage. Those things can happen in live radio, but we continue on. We'll begin with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Then at about 12:30, we'll talk with the author of Corporations Are Not People. He'll be joining us, and then we'll close out the show with the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, Don Luce. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Supervisor Richard Elias with me in studio. Richard, Supervisor, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill, and a happy new year to everyone here at KVOI, all the people who work here, important part of our community discourse, and especially to you, my friend Bill. It's great to be on your show one more time, 2015.
Thank you, and a little bit of a strange power outage there, but you know, Richard, what's fun about live radio is it's live, and you got to bring your A game every day. I mean, if you're on the radio live, you got to be ready. You got to be in the moment.
Absolutely, and that's why I congratulate the people here at KVOI, because obviously they do that for us every day.
You know, this is a day for reflection as we think back 4 years to that horrible day. And on some levels, we really have made a lot of progress in coming together as a community. We had Mr. Zimmerman, Ross Zimmerman, who lost his son tragically on that day. He was on the show a couple of days ago, and he decided, with the help of Michelle Crow of the January 8th Foundation, Richard, to carve out something positive out of something very terrible. And that as how the Beyond events were born. And I know you're going to be taking part in that on Saturday.
Yes, and I have every year that we've had Beyond, and I'm the MC over at the Armory Park section of Beyond, and it's always a blast. And it's a chance for all of us to reflect, move around a little bit, do something positive, and let everyone know that Tucson is recovering. And we all care about each other deeply here in this valley, and we share a beautiful place in the Sonoran Desert that we all need to cherish and take care of, both the place we live and the people who live here. So it's a great opportunity to do that. I knew Gabe from the time he was in diapers, actually, because I
really
did a lot of work with his mom over at the city of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a fine young man, and Judge Roll was absolutely a pillar in our community. And of course, our friend Gabby Giffords represented us in Congress with great honor and dignity, and continues to be a leader in our community. So a lot of reflection, a lot of other people that were injured in that awful event that morning. But also, I think we forget about all the people who were there in the store that morning and how they were terrorized.
Oh yeah.
They were definitely a part of all the difficulties that came out of all of that.
Sure. I mean, anyone that was in the store, certainly traumatized. And, you know, let's do a big shout out to every one of the first responders. These people do not get enough credit, Richard, and they were the first people on the scene. And I guarantee you, they saved a lot of lives. And just getting Congresswoman Giffords, I believe, Richard, within 20 minutes, within 20 minutes, she was on pretty much an operating table at University Medical Center.
Right. And that's a great tribute to our first responders, particularly proud of the Pima County Sheriffs and how they handled the situation that morning as well. And really quite lucky that we caught the shooter right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Had the shooter escaped
like into those the guys neighborhoods.
Did yesterday in France, we have a huge problem trying to catch them and an immense amount of danger to the surrounding community. That did not happen thanks to some of the people who were there who acted quickly, witnesses, and thanks to those first responders. God love you all and great deal of respect for all of you and rest in peace to our beloved people that we lost.
It has been announced there will be four finalists who will be discussing their designs for the next step for the January 8th memorial. That's a nonprofit foundation that is establishing a long-term memorial in the final phase now of selecting a designer. That will be at El Presidio Park in downtown, the final memorial, and they want to get it ready for the five-year anniversary for next year. And folks can meet these designers. Two of them are from Arizona, one from Tempe, one from Tucson, another group out of, an international design group, and another out of Chicago. And they will meet with the public at 5:30 Tuesday afternoon at the Arizona Historical Museum. And they will get a chance. Did I get that right? It is called the Arizona History Museum on East 2nd Street, 949 East 2nd Street, 5:30 in the afternoon. Richard, this is a great opportunity for folks to see what these particular folks, how they would like to, what their vision is for this memorial.
Well, the memorial is a great idea. And so to have an understanding of what artists are proposing to us, to represent the events of that morning and our recovery from all of that is a true gift. It's art that feeds our soul and helps us to understand some of the more difficult things that we are faced with as humans to understand. So it's a great chance to be able to do that. I would encourage everybody to participate. The changes that'll happen there at El Presidio Park, at the courthouse as well, are all something that are going to serve us well into the future and be a positive reminder of how the human spirit endures all challenges.
We're talking a little bit about the four-year anniversary of the Tucson shootings, and those are a couple of positive developments happening, the Beyond events, which have really grown into there's so many groups taking part. I mean, you can go hiking, you can listen to lectures, you can watch a movie. They're going to show a movie because there is an emphasis this year on wellness and health. They're going to show the movie Fed Up at those main events that you're going to be taking, that you'll be emceeing, Richard Elias. And also this memorial, those are positive things. Maybe not so positive. Yes, we've come together as a community on many levels, but still we have so many issues still to deal with as a community here.
We always face challenges. We always will. And the challenges that today's generations face seem overwhelming at time, but in truth, it's a matter of sticking to it. It's a matter of speaking to each other in a respectful way and finding our way out of the most complicated issues of our times. I have total faith in the people who live here in Pima County, and I especially have total faith in the young people that are today's leaders.
Your first meeting of the year, of the new year, the Board of Supervisors signed off pretty much on the banner health agreement. This is the banner taking over the acquisition of the day-to-day operations of University Health Network to the nonprofit Banner Health. Was this pretty much a formality, what happened at the meeting on Tuesday?
Well, in an odd sort of way. I mean, there certainly wasn't a line of people standing behind Banner that were interested in taking over those hospital operations here in Arizona. And Banner has made significant investments here in Arizona. So, in all reality, there was some choices that we could have made. But in truth, if we wanted Banner Medical Center at the North Campus and at the South Campus to continue operating, this was the right decision to make. Let me clarify that. Operating equates to saving people's lives. That's what hospitals do, and our hospital network and our emergency room network is absolutely a critical part of those first responders and what they do for us that we were just talking about that makes a difference in our quality of life. The South Campus that Pima County owns and leases now to Banner was really the critical part of the deal. The investment in graduate education and medical school education is critical to increasing the number of doctors here in Arizona. By having good places for doctors to be able to do their residency, they have a tendency to stay in those communities and continue to practice. Do some of them leave? Yes. But we've increased the number of doctors here in Arizona significantly with the investments we've made, both here in Phoenix, here in Tucson, and in other parts of Arizona, including Phoenix. I think that's good for all of us. I think it's money well spent. I think we are saving lives today as we speak there at Banner University Medical Center South, and we're going to continue doing that business.
All right, it's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. Supervisor Richard Elias, he'll stay over for another segment. We'll be right back on the Thursday edition of Buckmaster.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery, featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:20 on this Thursday afternoon. Richard Elias is with us, Pima County Supervisor. Well, a disagreement between Pima County and the developers of Star Valley, that's a housing project southwest of Tucson, continue into the new year. The developers have filed several lawsuits against Pima County, including a personal lawsuit filed by Joe Caesar, a partner in the company building up that area. County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry and Supervisor Sharon Bronson are among those named in the suits. The conflict is rooted in a disagreement between Pima County and the developers regarding who is responsible for road and other infrastructure near that project. Mr. Caesar, his lawsuit alleges that Supervisor Bronson, Mr. Huckleberry, and Pima County's actions amount to revenge and retaliation. This has been going on, this disagreement, for some time, hasn't it, Richard Elias?
Yes, this has been going on for several years at this point, and it's truly an unfortunate, difficult situation for all of us, especially for the Board of Supervisors. And because it is in litigation, I'm somewhat limited in how I can discuss it. But there are some important concepts I think that all of us should understand. And that's that master development agreements, master planning agreements, subdivisions require assurances from developers to provide certain amenities to those places where they build. And in this case, not all those assurances have been completed. And I think Mr. Caesar would like to think that the rooftop fees attached to all those building permits would have been enough to build all those things that we've been given assurances on. They are not. And very typically, those fees do not equate to enough money to be able to complete all those improvements.
We got 2,000 homes, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's 2,000 families living over there who, frankly, are in a very bad situation, and we need to make sure that their access off of Valencia Road is completed in a timely manner so that emergency vehicles and their families can get out of those subdivisions safely. That is not happening right now. That is why Pima County has entered into extreme measures to try and rectify the situation. But believe me, that is something we do not cherish or appreciate at all. And let me go further and say that as far as, you know, any member of the Board of Supervisors taking into account somebody's political stand in making decisions about public policy and the greater good, I have never heard anybody mutter or say anything along those lines. And we might like to think that that's the way government works and that that's the way politics is and that we all have to live with it. But I'm sorry, that's just not true. I do not see that happen at all. I think all five members of the Board of Supervisors, in all the 13 years that I've been on the board, all of them are above that, including today's members, all five of us. I just don't see that happening. So I find that extremely hard to believe in any sense.
Mr. Caesar called our Wake Up Tucson show. I believe that was day before yesterday that Joe Caesar called, was on the air for about 10 minutes right at the conclusion of the Wake Up Tucson show. And he had some pretty strong things to say about Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. You also singled out Supervisor Sharon Bronson. You heard the call, didn't you, Richard?
I heard about 7 minutes of
okay.
it, and
right.
then I had to leave.
He was alleging all sorts of mismanagement.
Right, mm-hmm. right, and I'm sorry. I just don't see those things happening. I certainly disagree with Chuck on a regular basis because we're deeply involved in a lot of business decisions here as the Board of Supervisors, together with the county administrator. Chuck's a responsible person. Our management style is maybe not to everybody's taste, but I assure them that it's responsible. And Joe's involved in some very difficult litigation, and I'm sorry he chose that venue to fire off those kinds of accusations. But that's his prerogative, and I certainly respect Joe. I've known him for years. We've had many good discussions together, and I respect him. I like him.
He grew up on the South Side, right?
Absolutely. A fine member of the South Side business community, and always been interested in creating housing for families, for middle-class families. That's what Joe has made his living on, and he should be very proud of his work. And I am proud of his work. But there are times when the economy fails us, and we can't follow through on everything we've put together on paper. And I think that's the situation we're in, and the court's going to have to resolve it, it appears. But I, from my perspective, I've not seen any impropriety taking place on the part of any of the members of the board or Mr. Huckleberry. And I just hope that we can resolve this, and it'd be even better if we could resolve this out of court. And I would like to see that head in that direction, and that we take care of those 2,000 homeowners there in Star Valley. That's the bottom line, taking care of that segment of the community and making sure that Valencia Road stays safe. There's huge investment out there with Pascua-Yaqui and other communities right near to where Star Valley is. So this is not something that operates in a vacuum.
Okay, Richard Elias, with us, only got a couple more minutes. One of the big issues as we closed out the new year, and we talked with you about this the last time you were on the show, was the situation about the plan not to hire anyone who smokes in Pima County. Has that been sort of put on the back burner for right now?
Well, it appears that Mr. Huckleberry decided to remove that item from the board agenda the day before it was to be heard. And I think it was pretty clear that there were not votes there to sustain it, and that it was probably a poor idea. So we have yet to hear back from Mr. Huckleberry on whether that's going to come back. He did indicate that he thought it would in February, but we have to be honest with each other. And I understand the goals, the health goals that he has in putting together a policy like that. But in the end, the enforcement area is where it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to not violate people's civil liberties in finding out what is the truth about whether they smoke or not, or whether they're being honest with their employer and their insurance company. Just a difficult situation.
What's the latest on the situation with bonds? Will we have a bond election in the next year?
Well, there's a bond advisory committee meeting on Friday, and they're going to be taking a look at a lot of neighborhood issues, including neighborhood reinvestment and affordable housing and some other critical issues, the Living Streets Alliance as well. I certainly hope that there's going to be a bond election, and I look forward to seeing that we make the right decision in April to, in fact, bring some questions forward to folks to supply critical infrastructure needs for all of us here in Pima County.
Okay, let's see if we can work a quick call in. Roger would like to speak with Supervisor Elias. Richard, you'll have to slip your headset on there, and then we'll hear from Roger. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, the smoking idea, I think, was a very bad idea because people got a right to smoke, and if it don't affect their job, that's their problem. But as far as, like, people in uniform, our sheriff's officers, the law enforcement right now, a lot of those people are way overweight, out of shape, and I think the county should at least adopt standards the Air Force has as far as physical requirements that these officers have to meet.
Okay, Roger, I'm not aware of, we'll have to ask the sheriff when he's with us in a couple of weeks about those physical fitness. I don't even know what if there are requirements, but there are. Yes.
There are, in fact, some physical requirements, Roger. I'm not exactly sure what they are, but certainly, you know, the physical fitness issue for our public safety people is important. It's important to all of us.
The sheriffs have to go through a physical thing every year that they have to meet a weight standard, run so far in a limited time or something like the Air Force does.
Yeah, there are physical standards that they do need to meet, but I'm not exactly positive of what they are, Roger. That's why I don't want to comment on that particular.
They must be pretty limited because I've seen some sheriff's officers that couldn't run down anybody.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't do so good chasing anybody either, Roger, so I got no room to criticize.
Okay, thanks, Roger, but we will try to remember to ask Sheriff Dupnik that question about the physical requirements for Pima County Sheriff's deputies when he is with us in a couple of weeks here on the show. But we are at 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. And Richard Elias, thank you for coming by today and sharing some of your thoughts. Thanks a lot for being with us and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Bill. Happy New Year to you. And it's always a pleasure to be here on the Buckmaster Show. And I think you all do a great job.
Thank you very much. Richard Elias with us on Buckmaster at 12:30. We'll be back with the author of Corporations Are Not People. That's right after this.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They're one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Take a page from the Tucson Festival of Books. With our vast selection of tents, tables, chairs, linens, and over 50,000 items in stock, we have event solutions for any occasion. Visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental.
At Perfection Auto Works, we can do everything from a simple tune-up, oil change, air conditioning, engine rebuild, or brakes. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, BMW, and Mercedes.
We work on the whole thing, from the tires to the trunk lock.
323-8650. 323-8650. Our free 26-point inspection looks ahead for problems.
323-8650. That's 323-8650.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. New Mexico today celebrating Statehood Day. A big shout out to our friends over in southwestern New Mexico, just 3 hours to Silver City. Really a great getaway, so much to do visiting historic Silver City. You can hike the Gila Wilderness, just relax in a hot spring, or just go antiquing over in historic Silver City. Great places to stay like Little Toad Creek Inn and Bear Mountain Lodge. You can find the full listing of places to stay and things to do on their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Was the Supreme Court's infamous Citizens United decision a desecration or only what the Constitution requires? Well, Citizens United is at the heart of a new book called Corporations Are Not People. The author, Jeff Clements, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. He is the co-founder and chair of the board of Free Speech for People, a national nonpartisan campaign to overturn Citizens United versus FEC and to strengthen American democracy and Republican self-government. Jeff, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well. The title, Corporations Are Not People, what does that mean to you and what should it mean to us?
Well, you know, in some ways it's an obvious thing. Of course, corporations are not people. But
yeah.
The point is a little bit more nuanced than it might sound. I think what it means to me, and should mean, and I think does mean to almost all Americans, is that the Citizens United decision that you mentioned, the Supreme Court, when it ruled, it held that corporations, even the biggest, most global corporations in the world, have the same rights as we human beings, which in effect means they have a lot more rights than we human beings, the right to spend all the money they have to control our elections, to control our government, in effect takes our rights, our duties, our responsibilities for self-government in America of for and by the people away from us. And so if we lose track, as the Supreme Court did, of that fundamental distinction between big corporate entities authorized by the state, given advantages like limited liability by the state to engage in economic activity, which is fine, if we lose sight of the distinction with human beings and say, well, they can also have all those powers in our political space and crowd out the human beings, we lose our democracy. And unfortunately, that's what's happening in America right now.
Well, what about free speech, Jeff Clements? Where does that come into all of this?
Well, you know, that's the First Amendment. That's the fundamental right of all Americans to have freedom of speech and other rights. That's what makes self-government possible. What the Supreme Court did in the Citizens United decision is strike down our campaign finance laws, saying that corporations spending money to influence elections and unions spending money to influence elections violate the freedom of speech of those entities. And so that's why it becomes a freedom of speech issue. If you know, we are buying political signs and holding them up or doing things to express our views, of course that's free speech. But we have always, before this, had a recognition of the distinction between, the big global corporation spending its money to influence our elections and freedom of speech. So that's, we have to get back to what the First Amendment meant before Citizens United and was intended to mean, which is human beings have unlimited freedom of speech. Well, not unlimited, of course. We know you can't scream fire in a movie theater, and freedom of speech just goes along with responsibilities for self-government. But it has nothing to do with big, dominating, concentrated money in elections.
What would you like to see Jeffrey Clemons happen now? To how would Citizens United be overturned? What would it take?
Well, we need a constitutional amendment. It would be the 28th Amendment, unless the Supreme Court is going to fix it. But I don't think Americans should sit back and wait and hope that somebody else fixes it. It's our duty to do so. And the way we've always done that as Americans, when the court has pulled the country into what effectively is a crisis of democracy, is a constitutional amendment. So we'll need to do that. It will take two-thirds of Congress or a constitutional convention. It'll take the American people coming together across our political division to unite to get this done. And it will take, essentially a return to responsibility of all of us and our representatives to represent us, not the biggest global corporations and the billionaires alone. And so to do that, we need to overturn Citizens United with the amendment. But that's the beginning, not the end. We need to have small donor democracy like the clean elections system that Arizona is trying to strengthen, and Maine and other states, like disclosure and transparency. So there's a whole lot of work to be done, but it really starts with all of us as Americans coming together to get this done.
We're speaking with author Jeffrey Clemons, the author of Corporations Are Not People. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew would like to weigh in our discussion. Go ahead, Matthew.
If we start from the supposition that the standing of the court is correct and that political speech can't be limited, and that corporations, because they are bodies of people, do actually have that right. I mean, just starting from there, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just saying it's a fact of the decision. Wouldn't a better way of approaching the situation be to look at corporations with regards to things that they do have the power to limit them with regards to monopoly power, and look at it from a point of view of attacking the problem from that point of view and saying there are ways of curtailing corporations' activities via the FCC, via monopoly laws, and approach it that way. I don't understand why. I think the idea of a constitutional amendment is a far-flung attempt, and I would approach it another way. And okay. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I think
all right.
Just, your thoughts about that. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Clemons?
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Matthew. It's a great question. I won't have time to address it in full, so do check out freespeechforpeople.org, where we talk a lot about this issue. And the problem is, first, the decision is wrong, so I think we need to overturn that. Second, the money problem is not just a corporate problem. It's also a billionaire problem. I mean, Sheldon Adelson spent $93 million to influence the 2012 election. Tom Steyer, on the other side of the political spectrum, spent millions of dollars. So there's a money, concentrated money problem that is corrupting our system we need to fix. And then the third problem with not taking back the proper constitution and trying to deal with corporations through our state and federal laws is that those laws are getting struck down as violations of corporate rights. We're in a case in Seattle where the minimum wage is under attack as a violation of the rights of corporations. We've seen corporations try to successfully to strike down country of origin labeling laws so that we know where our food comes from as violations. So I think if we try, as we should, I don't disagree, we should try to get the antitrust and monopoly laws working again. We should worry about the domination of the media by a few corporations and get an FCC that is effective again. But the problem is we're in a constitutional debate that we need to win in order to have those other things be as effective as they need to be to preserve a republic of free people and a democracy, because otherwise we will see the campaign finance law struck down in Citizens United were just the beginning we're seeing laws across the board get struck down when they violate the rights, so supposed rights that were created in Citizens United.
I've only got about 2 minutes, and I've got two callers who would like to weigh in on the conversation. Ingrid, very quickly, please. Ingrid, you're up.
Sir, you're a guest on a radio station that features Republican candidates regularly. I'm not a Republican, but I enjoy hearing it. Would you limit what they have to say about their candidates? I'll hang up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And the short answer... And the short answer is absolutely not. This is cross-partisan. We don't limit anyone, and we are working with Republicans, Democrats, Independents. Barry Goldwater believes we needed campaign finance laws. John McCain believes it was the McCain-Feingold law that was struck down. He believes Citizens United was wrong. William Rehnquist, a great Arizona conservative Republican justice, tried to stop this train that ended up in Citizens United. So I think Republicans, Democrats, Independents, we all have a lot to do to work together to address this problem.
All right. Jim Kelly is up with us. Jim, I've got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
You know, I just wanted to say that I agree that the paper tiger is not a person. The paper tiger of a corporation is not a person. But corporations are groups of people united for profit. And by disallowing their voice as a group, wouldn't you also have to disallow the voices of every other special interest group, like unions or anything like that?
Okay.
Again, another good question. And the answer is we don't disallow the voices. What we do with the 28th Amendment is return to all of us together in a democracy to make the decisions about what is the right role for economic entities, including unions. Corporations and unions are economic entities. What is the role for those in political as opposed to economic space? That's a decision that we, the people, should debate and decide in the democratic process. The problem is the Citizens United decision says we're not allowed to have that conversation. We're not allowed to limit these rights of corporations that were created in the case, fabricated in the case. And then it's not just associations of people. It's the biggest global corporations in the world who were being told we don't have, we're not allowed to make effective laws to address and protect our own political system from.
Okay.
And so that's why we really need to look at that 28th Amendment as a solution.
Author Jeffrey Clemens, Corporations Are Not People, is the name of a book. He will be speaking on Saturday at Antigone Bookstore, 411 North 4th Avenue here in Tucson. Again, that's Saturday from noon to 1:30 in the afternoon at Antigone Bookstore. Mr. Clemens, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Good to talk with you.
Thanks a lot. That's going to do it for Mr. Clemens. Up next, attorney Don Luce joining us on The Buckmaster Show right after this. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven
woven rugs from around the globe. The Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:51. We're joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hob Kirk and Associates, whose offices are here in Tucson and the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, and he's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that's in its second revised edition, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Happy New Year, Don Luce.
Thank you, Bill. The same to you.
Happy estate planning, thinking about it. I mean, this is, it seems like people make these New Year's resolutions every year. Well, I'm going to get my house in order. I'm going to get this in order. How about your estate planning?
Well, you know, you make a good point. We had a lot of estate planning people in December say, we want to get this done so we don't have to put it on our to-do list for 2015.
Yeah, so they got it done. Lucky them. A lot of folks should get it done in 2015. A couple of very important immigration-related legal items just happening in Arizona in the last 24 hours or so.
Well, you know, immigration is a hot legal topic because it's heavily litigated. And it started most recently with the passage of SB 1070. This week saw the final piece of that litigation take a turn. Specifically, the state of Arizona informed the district court judge that it was going to appeal her ruling, which struck down a piece of the SB 1070 legislation that made it illegal to smuggle immigrants into the state of Arizona. This lawsuit was yet another defeat for the state of Arizona, in that a half a dozen or so provisions of SB 1070 have now been declared unconstitutional. The specific reason for the smuggling law being declared unconstitutional was because the judge said that there is a federal law that covers the same topic, and therefore, under the doctrine of preemption, the state law was trumped, and the state law had no force in effect. The other immigration case that is winding its way through the court is the still, the Dreamer case, our former governor signed an executive order nearly 3 years ago denying Dreamers the right to obtain Arizona driver's licenses. And that case went all the way up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals said, we are not going to allow Arizona to essentially deny driver's licenses to people that President Obama says can stay in the country under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. The state of Arizona is now back before the trial judge and is arguing to the trial judge that it's necessary for the trial judge to take evidence on the intent of Governor Brewer when she enacted that executive order, saying that the idea originally came from the director of the Department of Transportation, not from the governor, and therefore there could be a rational basis for the state policy. The state of Arizona is trying to show the court that it wasn't simply animus toward Dreamers that resulted in the executive order, but rather a fear that that policy issuing driver's licenses to people who do not have legal immigration status could open the door to their getting public benefits and then leaving the state liable. So it's kind of a technical argument that the state is making, but it's hoping to convince the trial judge that there was a rational basis for the decision and therefore prevent the issuance of a permanent injunction requiring the state to issue driver's licenses to those people affected by this.
And once again, it's Arizona at odds with federal law.
You know, for the last several years, it seems every time we talk about litigation, we're speaking about cases where the state of Arizona is either going head-to-head with the administration or it's going head-to-head with groups who are claiming that particular pieces of legislation are unconstitutional, either as a denial of equal protection or a denial of due process. And I think it would be fair to say that Arizona is in the forefront when it comes to these types of cases involving whether it's immigration, whether it's gun laws, or whether it's gay rights. We're right there. We're at the Supreme Court more than most states in the United States.
And I wonder if that now will change. A lot of that was with the former Attorney General, Tom Horn. Now Mr. Brnovich has taken over as the Arizona Attorney General. Who knows what direction that's going to go? Do you have any clue or feeling on that?
Well, there is a small clue in one of these immigration cases, and that's the one that deals with smuggling. It was the new Attorney General, Mark Brnovich, who actually, on behalf of the state of Arizona, filed the notice of appeal. That might telegraph that the state of Arizona is going to continue to take the same position that it has in the past with respect to these types of cases. But to be honest with you, I think it's too early in the game to really tell. It is interesting, however, that the state hasn't backed off from its former position because of a new attorney general or a new governor, and just this week announced that it's going to take up on appeal the district court's ruling on the Arizona smuggling law.
Okay. In the remaining time, I do want to talk about one of your books, and because we started talking about estate planning. What do you need to, what should somebody be thinking about here? Everybody's making these New Year's resolutions. What should they be thinking about when they think about their estate? A will versus a trust, or what should they be thinking of?
Well, at the heart of it, I think it goes to what do I need to do to get my affairs in order should I not be able to make decisions for myself, either because of disability or because of death. Now, in the case of disability, a person who isn't able to make decisions for himself or herself ought to have already appointed someone to make those decisions for him or her. And you can do this through a variety of legal instruments, starting with the power of attorney. these general durable powers of attorney that we've spoken about before are very valuable because they authorize a third party to make all of the types of financial decisions that the person giving the power could make if they were competent. If you don't have that, then someone will need to petition the court to be appointed as your guardian or conservator or both. And that process is not only time-consuming, but it's also very expensive. And so you can avoid that easily by simply creating a power of attorney. Along those same lines, you can put into effect healthcare directives, which will also give somebody else the authority to make healthcare decisions for you, as well as make known your intentions as to the type of healthcare that you would want if you're not able to decide for yourself.
Estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know. The attorney, Don Luce, is the author. He's also the author of Arizona Laws 101, a second revised edition of Luce, Brown, and Hobkirk and Associates offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don, good to see you. We'll look forward to your visit with us in February. Thank you.
It's great to see you, Bill. Thank you.
Want to do a big shout out to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Mike does a great job. If you're looking for an auto mechanic for your domestic or foreign import, check out perfectionautoworks.com. Our friend Phil Cedars, who hosts the Green Things show, called to remind folks 10 a.m. Saturday at Green Things, how to prune roses. It's that time of year. Good information there from Phil. Coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8. And on behalf of Birthday Boy Ed Alexander, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a good afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.